In the Warren County Radio Bible School, we've been studying the Old Testament story from the book of Judges about Gideon and how he went up to war against the Midianites, who were just as thick as locusts and camels without number, having only 300 men. We're going to continue reading about that story in just a moment. As we left off in our last class, Gideon was left with about 10,000 men near the spring of Haran, and that was in the valley of Jezreel. In fact, I have been to that spring. I have visited there and saw where it was that the armies of Gideon were able to drink their water and how he would have divided them. You could climb up the hill above that spring and look out over that valley of Jezreel and the way toward Mount Tabor, and I imagined how you could have seen the armies of the Midianites that were gathered there that Gideon was supposed to attack. Well, we'll see how this went in just a moment. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, we're using as a study guide the notes that were made by E.A. Elam for the Sunday Schools of November the 28th, 1926. And here he describes the valley of Jezreel. He says this plain has been called the great battlefield of Palestine. King Saul fought his last battle on Mount Gilboa, and in this plain King Josiah was slain. Those who have traveled in Palestine tells us that at the eastern end of Esdraelon, at the foot of Mount Gilboa, on the north, near the western end, burst forth a spring flowing down the valley of Jezreel in a stream about 15 feet wide and 2 feet deep. This must be the spring of Harod. Gideon's army was on the south of the spring, while the Midianites were encamped on the north in the valley. And as I said, as this class began, I have visited that spring, and it is indeed a lovely place, with the cyclamen flowers blooming all around and the cool water coming out from under the cliff and flowing down that manner. And you can imagine these scenes that took place as you're visiting there. It is now a park area. They've just divided it out, and it's not developed, and it is a beautiful park-like area that they have made to commemorate this spring. It's so interesting to be able to visit that land and to see these features, and then to see how that what you see on the land corresponds to what we read in the book. But now let's look at Elam's notes. This was a victory gained by faith. And as the walls of Jericho fell down, and not one of physical might, and was designed to teach the people to trust in God and cleave to Him, therefore, Jehovah wanted to make all realize this, so He said to Gideon, "The people are too many, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, 'My own hand has saved me.' God says He drove out the nations and gave the land of Israel, not because of the righteousness of Israel, but because of the wickedness of the land," Deuteronomy 9, 4 and 5. God made the proposition for the fearful and the trembling to return. This resulted in the departure of 22,000, leaving only 10,000, over two-thirds of the army that Gideon had gathered together were cowards. This was in accordance with God's directions through Moses that the fearful and faint-hearted return, lest they cause others to fear and tremble, Deuteronomy 20 and verse 8. One coward will make others, while a brave, true man will encourage others. Many who profess to be in the church today as soldiers of the cross are fearful and faint-hearted. They lack confidence in God's means and ways. Some do not hesitate to say that God's way is a failure. The church should be better off if all the worldly-minded, pleasure-loving, cowardly members would either go back or repent and be faithful. But yet, with 10,000, there were still too many. Let me read to you Judges chapter 7, verses 4 through 8. And Jehovah said unto Gideon, "The people are yet too many. Bring them down into the water, and I will try them for thee. And it shall be, that of whom I shall say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go." So he brought down the people to the water, and Jehovah said unto Gideon, "Every one that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink." And the number then that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down on their knees to drink water. And Jehovah said unto Gideon, "By the 300 men that lapped will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thy hand. Let all the people go every man to his own place." So the people took victuals in their hand and their trumpets, and he sent the men of Israel every man to his tent, but retained the 300 men, and the camp of Midian was beneath him in the valley. Now let me read the corresponding comments from Elam's notes. After the departure of the 22,000, God said, "The people are yet too many." God tried them, or separated them. "All who lappeth the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, putting their hand to the mouth, thus taking water up out of the hand, as a dog does with his tongue, were set by themselves. And all who knelt and drank were set by themselves. There were only 300 of the former and 9,700 of the latter." Some try to find a reason why God gave this test. God does not give the reason why he used this way of separating them. But we do read this. By the 300, God said he would save Israel. The 300 took victuals in their hand and their trumpets. The rest went every man to his tent. They would be needed later on. And then we read about the victory of the 300. Let me read Judges 7, verses 9 through 15. "And it came to pass the same night that Jehovah said unto him, Arise, get thee down into the camp, for I have delivered it into thy hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Purah thy servant down to the camp, and thou shalt hear what they say. And afterward shall thy hands be strengthened to go down into the camp." Then he went down with Purah his servant, and to the outermost part of the armed men that were in the camp. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like locusts for multitude, and their camels were without number, and as the sand which is on the seashore for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man telling a dream unto his fellow, and he said, "Behold, I dreamed a dream. And lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian, and came into the tent, and smote it, so that it fell, and turned it upside down, so that the tent lay flat." And his fellow answered and said, "This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. Into his hand God hath delivered Midian and all the host." Now from Elam's notes, as stated in these verses, that's Judges 7, 9 through 15, which we just read, God encouraged Gideon by sending him down to the camp of the Midianites that he might hear what the Midianites had to say. And there was that dream that they had. The interpretation was from God. Gideon was the barley cake. The Midianites, Amalekites, and Ishmaelites lay along the valley like locusts for multitude, and their camels were without number in the sand which is upon the seashore for multitude. There were at least 135,000 that drew the sword. Judges 8 and verse 10. Besides the multitude which did not, Gideon's army was now only 300. But into his hand God delivered Midian and all the host. Gideon worshipped, returned to the camp of Israel, and said, "Arise, for Jehovah hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian." And in verses 16 through 18 of Judges 7, we read that Gideon divided the 300 into three companies, put trumpets into their right hands, of all the empty pitchers with torches in the pitchers in their left hands, and directed all to act as he did. Let me read that. It says in Judges 7, I'm going to begin in verse 15. I'll read through verse 18. "And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned to the camp of Israel and said, 'Arise, for Jehovah hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian.' And he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put into the hands of all of them trumpets and empty pitchers with torches within the pitchers. And he said unto them, 'Look on me, and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outermost part of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, For Jehovah and for Gideon.'" I'm going to go on now and read Judges 7, 19 through 21. "So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came to the outermost part of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, when they had put newly set the watch. And they blew the trumpets and brake in pieces the pitchers that were in their hands, and the 300 companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers, and held the torches in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands wherewith to blow. And they cried, 'The sword of Jehovah and Gideon.' And they stood every man in his place round about the camp. And all the host ran, and they shouted, and put themselves to flight." Elam's note says, "The company surrounded the camp of Midian in the night, and in the beginning of the middle watch, when Gideon gave the signal, as he'd said, all broke their pitchers, which disclosed at once 300 torches all around the Midianites, blew their trumpets and shouted, 'The sword of Jehovah in Gideon.' This is significant. God did the work through Gideon. Gideon and his men had to use the means God placed in their hands. While God did it, Gideon and his 300 had to act, and Israel had to pursue and slay the Midianites. By the blast of trumpets, the shouts, the Midianites were awakened in confusion and saw themselves surrounded by a circle of flashing light. They were stampeded, fell one upon another, and slew one another in their fright and in their fight." Now the results of the battle are in chapter 8. "And when the fight was over, and the peace was restored to Israel, in their gratitude, they offered to make Gideon a king. But that was not God's way of government, and he refused. Neither would he allow his sons to be made king. Gideon was humble and true. He made a mistake in making the ephod mentioned, after which all Israel played the harlot, and which became a snare to Gideon and his house. If we could only be content to do at all times all God commands, and no more, all would be well. Under Gideon, Israel had rest 40 years, and the Midianites lifted up their heads no more. And Gideon died in a good old age, and was buried in the sepulcher of Joash, his father."